Welcome to each of you. We're glad that you're here, grateful for your support and your presence. You know, while we waited, I appreciate your patience. It really is just Casey's first lesson. Any of you who are married know that it doesn't go well when you honk the horn. So, first lesson, patience while the women do their thing. It's always worth it. Let's pause for prayer. Father, we're thankful for this day. It has been waited for. The calendar started at 100 days of counting to this day. And so we're grateful that it has come, that you have brought these family and friends together to witness this holy ceremony. We're grateful that you give good gifts and that you're in the process of giving this good gift to Casey and Casey to Barbara. We ask that you would come with your Holy Spirit and make your presence known in this gathering. We're thankful that we could all be here together. We come in Jesus' name. Amen. Who gives this woman to this man? It's important that we know what we're about. Wise people know what they're doing. They think about it. They ponder it. They don't just run in and figure out what's going on later. All right? We try to do that in some of our counseling together. I would like to lay out a few words of Scripture so we know what we're about before we step forward and take holy vows. The first text is Genesis. We start at the very beginning. Then the Lord took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. The Lord commanded the man, saying, "From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it you will surely die." Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him." Out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the cattle and to the birds of the sky and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found a helper suitable for him. So the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. The Lord fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." That's what we're about today. God making two, one. And recently we had Pastor Sebastio open up this passage to it. To us. It's Jeremiah 29. It's his command to those who were in exile years and years ago. He said to them, "Build houses and live in them, plant gardens, eat their produce, take wives, and become the fathers of sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, and multiply there, and do not decrease." The final passage we would look at is Ephesians chapter 5. Specific, very specific instructions to the man and to the woman. Up in verse 15, he says, Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. I'm talking about this, and then he gives these instructions. Wives, be subject to your own husbands, as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is also head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church. Because we are members of his body, he does this. For this reason, a man should leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife, even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. I have a question for each of you. Do you, Casey, having heard God's word concerning marriage, desire to commit yourself to the covenant of marriage?
I do.
And do you, Barbara, having heard God's word concerning marriage, desire to commit yourself to the covenant of marriage?
I do.
Okay. The wedding party would be seated. We'll have a few words together. One text that I did not read, we find in Matthew. There are a few Bibles, I think, scattered on the inside. If you'd like to pick one up and read with me, you're very welcome to. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 19. Sometimes we learn much from what we would call an opposite instruction. This is not actually a positive instruction. In some senses, it's a negative instruction, and we learn much from it because it comes from the Lord Jesus himself. He speaks to us in Matthew chapter 19. This was the setting. They're gathered together. There's a group of people. The Pharisees, who were the religious leaders of the day, were always trying to trap Jesus and get him into a pickle, get him into a difficult spot. So they came to Jesus, testing him, and asking, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason at all?" Jesus answered and said, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning," remember that text that we read in Genesis, "made them male and female, and said, 'For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.'" We've read that over and over again, haven't we? "So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate." Well, they weren't quite satisfied with that. They really didn't get him into a corner. So they said to him, "Well, why then?" They wanted to pit him against Moses. "Why did Moses command to give her a certificate of divorce and send her away?" Now Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it was not to be this way. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for immorality and marries another woman commits adultery. It's a negative passage, but it brings us this very interesting thing in verse 5. It says, for this reason. Now, when I saw that after a marriage back in April, where we talked about this becoming one flesh, I wondered, now, what is this reason? He in verse 4, he says, he made them male and female and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother. I thought, oh, well, for what reason? It's because he made them male and female. That's the reason that you're supposed to leave your father and mother and cleave to your wife. And that's rather marked because God's word is very specific. We are to honor our parents, right? And one of the highest relationships in this world is son to father. So to call us to something higher tells us something, doesn't it? You're to leave that highest obligation and you're to cleave to a wife. And why would you do that? For what reason? Because God made you male and female. And Jesus said, from the beginning it was not so. So we go back to that beginning and let's just learn. I want to look at one word back in that text in Genesis. It's that word that says that Adam was out there and he didn't find anyone that was suitable to him. In other words, all the animals had male and female. Can you see the lion with the big mane, right? And then that sleek female lion, right? All those differences. And Adam looks around and says, I don't see anyone that would compliment me. I don't, there's no one here. And God knew that. And that's when he says, it's not good for man to be alone. You've known that, haven't you, Casey? You've confessed that years ago before you were on the scene. He says, it's not good for me to be alone. And he was praying. So God's about something when he created male and female. That word, a help meet, in the Old King James, the New American Standard, the one that I'm reading from, says, found a helper suitable. Suitable. In the Hebrew, it means to be opposite to. Now, we know this phrase, you know, opposites attract. We kind of laugh at that. But in a sense, it's biblical that he made Eve opposite. Now, I didn't say opposed to, okay? That's where we get off. That's where the Satan gets in and wants to rub us, right? He wants us to be opposed to each other. But no, God didn't make us to be opposed to each other. He made us to be opposites, to complement each other. To complement each other. You say, well, how do opposites do that? Let me give you a few. How about sunshine and rain? We all have sunny days, don't we? But if we're going to have green grass and if we're going to eat anything, we need rain, don't we? We need rainy days. They're opposites. How about light and darkness? I love mornings, but I love night times too, right? I've never been to Alaska when it's 24 hours a day sunshine, but something about that does not sound very appealing to me. Darkness complements light. It gives us a time to rest. How about this opposite? Tears and laughter. Don't we need those? Don't we need opposites? See, in God's world, opposites are made for each other. They're useful. And the real task is here that as you've been given this opposite, this counterpart, as a helper for you, it's because there's a great job to do. There's a big task to do. God's given the task of raising up the next generation, teaching them, right? Instructing them in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Now, I have an illustration for you. I figured if a picture is worth 1,000 words, what about a living illustration? So I've come with one today. Okay, you trust me. Or don't. I want you to picture something in my mind because this is going to be so important because there's going to be days in your marriage where you feel like She was opposed to me, not opposite to me. We don't compliment each other. We're struggling here. And I want this illustration to always be remembered, okay? I want you to remember that you were made for him to be a counterpart, to be a blessing, to be a helper, to come alongside, to always have that oneness that begins here today. Okay, so picture this scene with me. It's the middle of the night. It's the middle of the night. And fire breaks out in your neighbor's house. And up come screaming the fire trucks. All right? Now there's men in these fire trucks. There's a captain. His job is assess the fire, make sure that if someone's in the house, we get it going on it. Right? But there's another man. His job is to get the hose from the fire truck to the hydrant. All right? He's just as critical as the captain. Now, the fire truck takes a certain amount of water. That's to put out brush fires and maybe to put out a car fire. But if it starts pumping on a house, that little tank is going to run dry. They need water from the hydrant. All right? So the guy runs out and grabs a hose. And runs up. He already hooked it up there. He's got the wrench. He's going to turn it on. All right? He's got the hose. Now there's a junior guy on the truck. He runs, he yells, "I need another 50 feet. So the junior guy runs over, grabs a hose out of the truck. Whoa. And runs up. And it's dark. What do I got? If any of you are into plumbing or any other way, the world is very up on this. It's very easy at the hardware store. It's called male and female. Only problem is, we got two male ends. Right? Did God make you to be two male ends? No, he said, he brought a helpmeet, an opposite, a counterpart, a complement. He didn't bring the same. I mean, When the hydrant gets turned on and the pumps get turned on, folks, we're going to have two wet firemen trying to hold these two things together, and the fire isn't going to get put out. A big job to do, and we've got two male ends. What do we need to do? What has God done for you, Casey? God has brought to you a counterpart. And when the junior fireman runs up with this, we're going to be able to put out the fire. It's the female end. Now, we're ready to do business. All right? We've got a big job to do. Now he can turn that on, can't he? Now it's time to open up the hydrant and put the pressure to it and turn on the pumps and suck water. But it had to be this way. Right? Now, there's going to be days when you feel like you're up against each other. It's because you're off purpose. All right? You're taking what God has given, and you've messed it up. So you need the Holy Spirit. You need to cry out for wisdom, repent of sin, and find that gift again that God has given you, an opposite, to complement you, because there's a big task to do. So may you remember this. All right? He made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. May God always make it so.